RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents the 2018 Kaleidoscope. All began on January 1, 2018. Indonesia officially managed Mahakam Oil and Gas Block in East Kalimantan. Indonesia through PT Pertamina Company officially took over the Mahakam Block Balikpapan, East Kalimantan on January 1, 2018 from two foreign companies, namely Total E&P Indonesia and Impex. The Mahakam working area in East Kalimantan has been managed by TEPI or Total E&P Indonesia and Impex for 50 years. After January 1, 2018, it enters a new phase and it is managed by Pertamina Hulu Mahakam, which is part of Pertamina's company. On January 2, 2018, Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Soekarno-Hatta Airport train. This inauguration was held at the airport railway station Terminal 3. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said that it is one of the modes of transportation in Jakarta intended to reduce traffic congestion. In the future, the government will try to integrate all modes of transportation, from busway, mass rapid transit, LRT, and airport railways, so that people can reduce their personal vehicle use. The airport train has 10 circuits consisting of 6 carriages and can carry 33,000 passengers every day. On January 5, 2018, former Governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, and Governor of the Central Bank of China, Zhou Xiaquan, signed an agreement on the establishment of the BI Representative Office in Beijing, China. Agus Martowardoyo, through his written statement, said that the agreement was in line in the increasing importance of China in the global economy and the region, including in Indonesia. He emphasized that the existence of the BI Representative Office in Beijing is expected to further optimize the economic and financial relations of the two countries and enhance understanding of economic and financial developments and policies in China and their implications for Indonesia. On January 12, 2018, a 10% share of 51% share was divested by PT Freeport Indonesia to the Indonesian government for the Papua and Mimika Regency governments. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani, Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Ignatius Jonan, Governor of Papua Lukas NMB, Region of Mimika Altimus Omaleng, and President Director of PT Inalum Budi Gunadi Sadikin signed the agreement at the Ministry of Finance office in Jakarta. In his remarks, Minister Sri Mulyani said that the agreement was a strategic step, a significant progress in the context of Freeport's shares divestment. The Papua and Mimika provincial governments will jointly have 10% of PT Freeport Indonesia shares after divestment. According to Minister Sri Mulyani, the 10% share is to fulfill customer rights or indigenous territories and communities affected by Freeport exploration. The ownership of 51% of Freeport shares by Indonesia is expected to increase state revenues, accelerate the downstreaming of the mining industry, increase employment opportunities, and encourage development in the region. On January 18, 2018, two F-16 fighter planes, grants from the United States government, arrived at Iswahyudi Magetan Air Base, East Java. The fighter jets were the latest shipment of a total of 24 units of F-16 fighter aircraft from the United States. According to the Indonesian Institute of Sciences Military Observer Muhammad Nur Hasim, the existence of the F-16 fighters from the United States was part of U.S. foreign policy, which still considered the region of Asia as important, including Indonesia.
Salah satu pertimbangan.
One consideration is the opening of military cooperation between the U.S. and Indonesia. Besides, Indonesia has changed. From the political standpoint, I think there are significant changes. There is a process of consolidating democracy. There are improvements to the criteria of human rights and etc. There are also opportunities for changes in the world political constellations. I think American interests in Asia and ASEAN are also one of the factors why this F-16 grant program has been continued. Muhammad Nur Hasim further explained that the sustainability of U.S. F-16 fighter jet assistance to Indonesia was also based on long-term political considerations in the region. According to him, the United States has calculated the domestic political constellation and the role of Indonesia in the security arena at the Asian and ASEAN levels, including the political turmoil in the South China Sea. The growth of Chinese power as a new economic power and new military force after the collapse of the Soviet Union is viewed significantly. On January 19, 2018, two Indonesian citizens named La Utu and La Hadi, who are fishermen from Wakatobi, were freed from the kidnappers. They were kidnapped by the Abu Sayyaf group in the waters of Kertam, Sabah, Malaysia on November 5, 2016, and then taken to Sulu waters, southern Philippines. Director of Indonesian Citizen Protection and Legal Assistance of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, ensured that the process of the two fishermen's release was pure without ransom. On January 26, 2018, Indonesia won the biodiesel dispute with the European Union. The final result of the decision of the WTO dispute settlement panel decided 6 Indonesian lawsuits against the European Union won. The European Union has previously imposed anti-dumping duties on Indonesia's biodiesel products since 2013, with a dumping margin of almost 9% to 23%. So, Indonesia's biodiesel export to the European Union have declined by more than 42% since 2013. On January 29, 2018, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo arrived at Hamid Karyadi International Airport, Kabul, Afghanistan. President Joko Widodo's state visit to Afghanistan was the second made by an Indonesian president after President Sukarno's state visit 57 years ago in 1961. 2 days earlier, there was a suicide bombing by Taliban militant groups which killed 95 people in the area in the Afghan capital, Kabul. But the incident did not undermine President Joko Widodo's visit to Afghanistan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Turning to February 2018, I'll begin with February 1, 2018. Indonesia officially signed the host country agreement for the ASEAN Institute for Peace and Reconciliation in Jakarta. The signing was witnessed by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, and carried out by the Director General of ASEAN Cooperation and the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Jose Tavares and Reslan Ishar, from the ASEAN Institute for Peace and Reconciliation. On that occasion, Minister Retno explained that Indonesia views the ASEAN Institute for Peace and Reconciliation as an important institution to support ASEAN and address the challenges of regional peace, stability, and security. This institution also strengthened Indonesia's leadership in ASEAN as the driving force of the peace process and resolution of conflicts in the region. On February 5, 2018, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia officially opened the Jakarta International Conference on Human Rights in Jakarta. The conference was attended by the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein. In his remarks, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi reminded the importance of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights and the Vienna Declaration as an instrument that gave birth to the main principles of what is referred to as human rights. This conference was specifically held to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the 25th anniversary of the Vienna Declaration along with its action program.
Through this Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights, Indonesia is proud to take part in the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of Universal Declaration of Human Rights and 25th anniversary of the Vienna Declaration and Plan of Action. The two instruments embody key principles for deliberation on human rights, namely universality, objectivity, non-selectivity, non-politicization, and cooperation. 70 years on, this principle is critical. In today's world, where conflict, organized crime, and disaster around the world often result in grave humanitarian issues.
On February 11, 2018, Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati got the Best Minister in the World Award at the World Government Summit held in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. The award was handed over by Dubai leader, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. The Best Minister Award is a global award given to one minister from all countries in the world every year and start to be given in 2016. The winner selection and determination process is carried out by an independent institution, Ernst & Young, and organized by the World Government Summit. The Government Summit is an annual meeting that is held in Dubai, involving all government leaders around the world. It is a forum for global dialogue on government processes and public policies and their relations to technology, innovation, and other topics. The aim is to improve the lives of 7 billion people in the world. On February 20, 2018, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs launched a rogatory online monitoring 2018 website to update similar pages that have been there before. The launch of this page aims to improve the quality of public service in the provision of legal, technical assistance in civil matters. This page provides all information regarding rogatory letters and submission of court documents in the latest civil problems. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi revealed this was the handling of the rogatory letter and request for submission of court documents from the foreign state courts to the courts in Indonesia and from the courts in Indonesia to the foreign courts in the Supreme Court.
Dan tadi sebagaimana teman-teman ketahui bahwa pada hari ini juga sekaligus saya meluncurkan website.
And as you know that today, I also launched the ROM website, the Rogatory Online Monitor 2018 website. This website contains information on regulation, formats, and costs in other countries. So the informative nature is very necessary for Indonesian citizens and also regarding rogatory and submission of court documents in civil cases. Minister Retno Marsudi added that a strengthening of the legal system on consular services is needed so that the government can guarantee the legal rights of Indonesian citizens who are facing civil cases are fulfilled.
Voice of Indonesia.
On March 2, 2018, PT Pertamina, a state-owned enterprise, officially opened a representative office of PT Pertamina Lubricants in Sydney, Australia. Managing Director of PT Pertamina Lubricants, Afandi Anwar, said that the opening of this representative office further strengthened the marketing of Indonesian products in Australia, which had always been championed by the Indonesian consulate in Melbourne as a concrete from the economic diplomacy. Opportunities for export will open greater and will improve the trade balance for Indonesia. This success brings about not only benefit for Indonesian government, but also for business world. On March 3, 2018, Indonesian students won a gold medal at the World Mathematics Competition for the East Asia region. In addition, they also won a silver medal and three bronze medals in the competition held in Beijing, China, from March 1 to 3, 2018. The Indonesian delegation, consisting of 12 students from Bunda Mulia International High School, Jakarta, aged between 14 to 17 years, were divided into four teams. The World Mathematics Competition for the East Asia region, NIEMC, is a qualification competition toward the World Mathematics Championship that is held every year. The competition in Beijing was attended by 162 students from Hong Kong, China, Vietnam, and Indonesia. On March 5, 2018, state-owned company PT Kimia Farma expands its business to the Middle East by acquiring 60% shares of Dawa Medical Limited Company, a subsidiary of Mari bin Mahfouz Group based in Saudi Arabia. The signing of the shareholder agreement was marked by the establishment of a joint venture company Kimia Farma Dawa by Director of Kimia Farma, Honesty Bashir, and Chief Executive Official of Mar'i bin Mahfouz Group, Mahfouz bin Mar'i bin Mahfouz. Honesty explained, the Kimia Farma's business expansion abroad, especially in Saudi Arabia, the Middle East and Africa, is part of the company's business and market development strategy. The business expansion is also intended to support the Indonesian government's program in serving the healthcare needs of Indonesian pilgrims and Umrah pilgrims, who increase year by year, as well as serving Indonesian citizens who work in Saudi Arabia. On March 16, 2018, Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia Rusdi Kirana in Miri, Sarawak, Malaysia, inaugurated 17 new community learning centers in the Sarawak region. The learning centers are provided for the children of Indonesian migrant workers, BMI, especially those who work in the plantation sector, spreading in various regions in Sarawak. In his press conference at one of CLCs on Sachius Oil Palm Plantations, Yuang Group in Miri, Ambassador Rusdi Kirana said that in addition to the construction of a new CLC in Sarawak, the government of Indonesia also plans to build vocational schools as a continuation of basic education in CLCs.
Kalau di Sarawak itu targetnya 50 dan sekarang sudah ada 12 target.
In Sarawak, the target is 50 and now there are 12. The target for this time is 17, so the first 19 must have been carried out. Today we have inaugurated 17, so it becomes 36. For June, we had a target of 50 for Sarawak. For Sabah, we would build vocational schools. From elementary schools, junior high schools, they would go to vocational schools. As previously said, they are culinary, hospitality, and mechanics. Hopefully, at the end of this aid, we would do a groundbreaking to build it. The funds are already available. On March 28, 2018, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, addressing the UN Security Council open debate, said that the UN peacekeeping and security forces could no longer just work as usual in the face of current challenges in the field. The UN security force must be well trained, well equipped, and supported by adequate resources. The statement was conveyed by Minister Retno Marsudi at the UN Security Council's open debate entitled Collective Action to Improve UN Peacekeeping Operations in the presence of 15 UN Security Council members and all debate participants at the UN headquarters, New York, on Wednesday, March 28. The theme of the open debate was motivated by the increasing number of UN Security Forces personnel who were victims in various attacks and security threats to the UN mission.
Voice of Indonesia.
We switch to April. To protect Indonesian citizens who are abroad, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia utilized the advancement of information and communication technology by launching the Safe Travel application. This application, which is based on Android and iOS smartphone, was officially launched by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta on Saturday, April 14, 2018. She said that the launch of the Safe Travel application is part of Indonesia's foreign policy, prioritizing the protections of Indonesian citizens.
Okay, jadi teman-teman baru
so we just launched together the Safe Travel application. This application can be accessed through multiple platforms. Before January 2017, we had launched it, but still in the form of a map. We can now access it through various ways. Of course, the question is, why Safe Travel? The shortest answer is in the framework of protection. Because the protection of Indonesian citizens, as always emphasized by the President, is a priority for Indonesia's foreign policy. On April 19, President Joko Widodo opened the Indonesia International Motor Show IIMS 2018 at J-Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said the theme of the 2018 IIMS that supports and commits to electric car products reflects the automotive industry in Indonesia in a bid to respond to development of the global industry. He considered the Industrial Revolution 4.0 can direct the automotive industry to transitions to develop technology and open the opportunity for the Indonesian automotive industry. A total of 15 agents holding car brands participated in the exhibitions, which was held from April 19 to 29, 2015. On April 25, Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the Innocraft exhibitions at the Jakarta Convention Center. In his speech, Vice President Yusuf Kalla appreciated the International Craft Exhibitions, or Innocraft 2018, which was held again for the 20th time at the Jakarta Convention Center until April 29, 2018. In this exhibition, Innocraft chose North Sumatra as the main icon of the exhibition theme, the loftiness of North Sumatra, alongside the central theme of Innocraft, which was coloring the world.
Selamat kepada Provinsi Sumatera Utara yang kali ini.
Congratulations to the North Sumatera province, which this time has become a kind of host or region that gave the main thing for this exhibition. I'm sure that these efforts can provide us for more employment benefits, economic benefits, and pride.
Voice of Indonesia.
We switch to May. On May 1st, President Joko Widodo opened the World Ulema and Muslim Scholars Consultation Forum at the Bogor Palace, West Java. The forum was attended by around 100 scholars from Indonesia, Yemen, Egypt, Iran, Morocco, Italy, the United States, and other countries. In his speech, President Joko Widodo reiterated Indonesia's commitment in supporting the birth of the world's moderate Islamic axis.
Posisi Indonesia sangat jelas. Kami mendorong dan sangat berkomitmen bagi lahirnya.
Indonesia's position is very clear. We encourage and are very committed to the birth of the world Islamic Wasatiyah axis. We believe that with Wasatiyah Islam, we want to show the world that Islam is a religion that is rahmatan lil alamin, which is a blessing for the entire universe. On May 7th, President Joko Widodo welcomed the arrival of Chinese Prime Minister Li Keqiang at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. The President and Prime Minister held a bilateral meeting, discussing cooperation in a number of sectors and planting together with the camphor trees, or Diobalanops laceonlata. Prime Minister Li also visited the Asian Secretariat in Jakarta to celebrate the 15th anniversary of China's strategic partnership relationship with Asia. In addition, he also attended the Indonesia-China Business Summit. On May 11th, President Joko Widodo officially opened a trilateral meeting of ulema, Afghanistan, Indonesia, and Pakistan for the stability of peace in Afghanistan at the Bogor Palace in West Java. 45 scholars from the three countries attended a series of closed meetings. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo emphasized that Indonesia strongly encouraged peace and stability in Afghanistan. He hopes that this meeting would provide concrete results for peace in Afghanistan.
Melalui suara ulama, khususnya para ulama dari Afghanistan, Pakistan,
through the voices of ulama, especially the scholars of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Indonesia, the spirit of ukhuwah for peace in Afghanistan could be strengthened. Undeniably, this is a difficult task as well as a noble task for scholars. For this reason, I again called for, let us just intend this meeting only to gain the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by showing the seeds of peace and avoiding violence among His servants. With sincere intentions, the trilateral meeting of the scholars will be a concrete contribution to peace in Afghanistan. In the meeting of trilateral ulema, Indonesia, Afghanistan, Pakistan agreed to produce the Bogor Declaration of Peace, which supports the achievement of peace in Afghanistan. The meeting was closed by Vice President Yusuf Kala, who said that the Bogor Declaration of Peace is the first step towards a further process in a bid to achieve peace. On May 11th, Brazilian Foreign Minister Aloysio Nunes Ferreira visited Indonesia. In a meeting with the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lotno LP Marsudi, three approval documents between the countries were signed, namely an agreement on visa exemption for diplomatic and service passports, exchange of notes for visas exemption for ordinary passport holders, and technical cooperation agreement. On May 21st, President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Minangkabau International Airport Railway in Padang City, West Sumatra on Monday. In his remarks, the president highlighted the level of traffic congestion that is often a challenge in several big cities. The airport railway in Padang is the third airport train inaugurated by the president after Medan and Jakarta. According to President Joko Widodo, airport trains in Padang were built by using government subsidy funds, so the costs charged to the people are very cheap. We want to reduce as much as possible the use of private cars on the streets. We want people to go by mass transportation, busway, and trains soon. In Jakarta, there are MRTs and LRTs. Without these, any city in the world will definitely be jammed. In West Sumatra, especially in Padang City, in Padang Pariaman, we want the same thing. From BIM to cities, people do not need to use personal cars. Use mass transportation, namely airport trains. On May 30, 2018, President Joko Widodo received a visit from Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, at the State Palace in Jakarta. The arrival of Prime Minister Modi was the first official visit to Indonesia in response to President Joko Widodo's state visit to India in December 2016. and when attending the Asian India commemorative summits in January 2018. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Dharminda Sutyan said that the result of the meeting between him and Indian Prime Minister Narendra at the State Palace in central Jakarta is one aspect to improve cooperation relations with Indonesia. Minister Dharmin also explained that there were several points of cooperation agreed with India, including in the fields of economy, defense, politics, and social culture. Take for example in the defense, there will be joint training of the Navy with Asian in the Malacca Strait. In the economic field, they discussed topics related to palm oil and pharmaceutical products, as well as meat imports from India.
Voice of Indonesia.
We move on to June. On June 25th, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with her Japanese counterpart Taro Kono. The issue of the Korean Peninsula is one of the topics discussed at the 6th strategic dialogue between Indonesia Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Kono in Jakarta. In the meeting, both of them agreed that sanction of the UN Security Council resolution against North Korea should continue. Minister Kono at a press conference said that he and Minister Retno also agreed that North Korea must fully denuclearize and disarm weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missiles.
Regarding North Korea, we reaffirmed our commitment to the strict implementation of UN Security Resolution and to press North Korea for complete, verifiable, and irreversible dismantlement of all weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missiles of all ranges.
On June 28, President Joko Widodo received a state visit of the President of the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste, Francisco Guterres Luolo, at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java. This visit was the first foreign visit of President Guterres after being installed as president last year. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo said that the state visit showed the close relationship between Indonesia and Timor-Leste. In their meeting, according to the President Joko Widodo, the two heads of state agreed to improve bilateral relations in the future. Some of the points that were the focus of the discussion include trade and investment cooperation. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo conveyed Indonesia's commitment to continue to be a trusted partner in economic development in Timor-Leste.
Indonesia merupakan mitra utama perdagangan Timor-Leste dan
Indonesia is the main partner of East Timor trade. As we know that there are 9 SOEs and around 400 companies owned by Indonesian citizens that Indonesia operate in Timor-Leste. The value of Indonesian investment in Timor-Leste reaches more than $595 million. Therefore, we agreed to start negotiations and reach an agreement for investment promotion and protections agreement and double taxation avoidance agreements. I believe President Luolo's government will continue to provide legal guarantees and certainty for Indonesian investment. On the same day, on June 28, Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad made a state visit to Indonesia for 2 days on June 28 and 29. The arrival of Prime Minister Mahathir in Jakarta was welcomed by President Joko Widodo and Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Mahathir at the bilateral meeting on Friday 29 June discussed several important issues related to the two countries, including efforts to increase economic cooperation in the fields of trade and investment. President Joko Widodo, during a joint press statement with Prime Minister Mahathir, said that both of them also discussed border cooperation. The head of states also entrusted protections for Indonesian workers in Malaysia to Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Mahathir hopes that friendship and cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia can be increased because of its many benefits in the fields of politics, economics, and also relations between both nations.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Gebuk Ende Tradition. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id, or you can also hear through frequency 3325 kilohertz. Listeners, a pemutaran Bay Festival or PBF was held on 13th up to 15th December 2018. It did not only show concern for nature, but culture got large concern as well. One of the performances was by displaying a tradition of the Balinese people, namely Gebuk Ende. Gebuk Ende attraction was performed from 13 to 14 December at 3 p.m. up to 5:30 p.m. or Middle Indonesia time. This sacred culture was conducted attractively, so it got appreciation from visitors. Listeners, Gebuk Ende, or usually called as Rotan War, is a cultural heritage and an ancestral tradition that is still carried out by Balinese people until now. This unique tradition is held related to dry season. It is usually held to request rain in Sasih Kapat or Balinese Hindu calendar, or from October to November. Gebuk Ende is done by two men. They wear udeng or Balinese headgear, and they are shirtless. They bring ende or tamyang and rattan as the main weapon to hit. A rattan has a length of 1.5 to 2 meters. Before this action began, Mekaru ceremony was held as a presentation for Buta Kala. Listeners, participants who are hit by rattan cannot mutually take revenge. We all believe when there is a drop of blood from the slayed, so nature will send its blessings such as rain. In spite of sacred performance, the Gebuk Ende performance is performed lively with Balinese gamelan instrument. The participants attack each other. After Saye or referee beats rattan for 3 times. In the Gebuk Ende tradition, the participants fight with limited dividing lines. Particularly, there is no awarding status for winning in this Gebuk Ende show. Listeners, Gebuk Ende comes from Seraya Village, Karangasem, Bali. Eventually, the tradition developed in the Gerok-Gak area because it was carried by Krama Desa Seraya that migrated. This tradition then developed in West Buleleng in 1925, especially in Sumber Kima village. In 1930, there was an expansion division of Pemutaran traditional village into several regions. The expansion of the Pemutaran traditional village also resulted around 8 villages. They are Sumber Kima, Pejarakan, Pemutaran, Sumber Kelapok, Patas, Bayupon, Penyambangan, and Sangalangit villages. Over time, this tradition is routinely held when long dry season comes. In performing Gebuk Ende, village courtiers beg Ida Betara in order to rain. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Gebuk Ende tradition. We will meet in another interesting topics. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Miss Lenny. In today's edition, we will present information about ITB discovers giant stegodon tusk in Majalengka, West Java. So stay tuned with us on www.voinews.id. Listeners, the Paleontology Laboratory team of Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, found a fossil in the form of a pair of Stegodontas from early Pleistocene, or about 1.5 million years ago. This fossil was found in Majalengka, West Java. This discovery is one of the largest in 2018 in Indonesia by the laboratory team of the Quaternary Paleontology and Geology Working Group, Faculty of Earth Sciences and Technology of ITB. The size of Tas fossil found as a thread length about 3.30 meters, while the arch length is 3.60 meters. This finding is the result of the work of a team led by Professor Jahdi Zaim as a head of the Paleontology Laboratory. Professor Jahdi Zaim said that Stegodontas fossil was obtained by a long process because the removal of the fossil is not easy to do. The fossil location is near the river flow. Besides discovering the Stegodont, there are other fossils in the form of ancient crocodiles and plants. There are also other fossils, including the Stegodont skull. According to him, this finding is very spectacular for ITB, and this is the biggest ivory finding in 2018 in Indonesia. One of the team's members, Dr. Mika Puspaningrum, explained that viewed from a large size of tusk, this Stegodont is male with a height of more than 3 meters. This includes adult Stegodont tusk and even it's very old. This can be seen from the tip of the ivory that is worn or flat. This species is probably Trigonocephalus in Java. It could be when the Java island became land. The species eats more leaves and grasses. All the destruction of the Stegodont fossil will be taken to Bandung Geology Museum to be restored and reconstructed. That was Miscellany for today with the topic ITB discovers giant Stegodontas in Majalengka. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa lagi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a daily segment featuring information about Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will present you the folk songs of Lampung people. To initiate our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Punyandangan, sung by Iwan Sagita. The song tells about advices of not giving up in achieving our dreams. It motivates us to keep doing our best in achieving our goals. Enjoy the song.
Do sai umpa saki itu pun dunia dihajiku nyandangan lain uli busunya kembagian ya Tuhan didangui anadaya sakit ni punya nyandangan
Just listen to a song entitled Punyandangan. The traditional song of Lampung was composed by Rusli Z. In Lampung language, Punyandangan means faith. The lyrics of the song contains messages to improve ourselves. Due to its popularity, the song has been performed by numerous singers. Listener, let's listen to another folk song from Lampung entitled Seminung. In accordance to its lyric, the song talks about a mountain in Lampung called Seminung. Happy listening!
Thank you. jajaman sangka. Segala rumah di zaman tumbai, tanam tumbuh tua belantara.
Listener, you have just listened to a song called Seminung by Andy Ahmad. Composed by Saricho Tarmizi Nawawi, the song talks about a mountain called Seminung. The lyrics tells that the area of Mount Seminung is surrounded by Ranau Lake. To end our segment, let's listen to the last song entitled Bumi Lampung or The Land of Lampung. The song talks about the local products of Lampung, namely coffee and pepper. It also portrays the incredible scenery of Lampung. In addition, through its lyric, the song calls on Lampung people to develop their region. The call is delivered through its lyric Lapah Gam, Jamo Jamo, Kuai Ngebangun Bumi Lampung. It means that together, let's develop Lampung. Listener, thank you for joining us. We hope the songs we present today will improve your insight about the enchantment of Indonesian regions. See you.
Saya aku. dikenal hasil nuku pilado rebutan kaum modal walai pemandangan no di pinggir teluk lampu belum bersuka-suka
Voice of Indonesia.